The reading of God's Word from the book of Acts in the 17th chapter. Kind of a long one for today, verses 16 through 32. Talking about the Apostle Paul and his mission work. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, city of Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. It's important for us at Daleville Christian Church that others know what it is that we believe, and so we state that belief in one or another of the scriptures each Sunday we meet together. This Sunday we proclaim 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. Today we want to talk about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now here is the good part. Many of you here have done this. Many of you here today know how to reach people. It isn't easy. I once read that there are about 60 things a church has to do right in order to grow. 60. That's a lot. But some of you have done it. It is doable. You might ask, Why would we want to grow? Well, the short answer is that Jesus wants us to grow. All living things grow, even weeds. If we are a living, breathing congregation, we will grow. Now, you can grow many ways. And even as our numbers have decreased, we have grown. We should take a moment to notice what we do have as the congregation of Jesus Christ called Daleville Christian Church. We have a wonderful and beautiful, historically significant facility, completely modernized and updated. We have Wi-Fi throughout the entire building. And if you don't know what that means, ask your grandchildren. We have wonderful people here. I've mentioned that already. We have worship right. Now, the worship is in an older style, but it has everything mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. This church has everything mentioned in Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. The other thing we have, for lack of a better word, is we have doctrine right. What we believe is in the Bible, and the Bible is what we believe in. I have more of the information in the church bulletin today about what it is that we believe. We have excellent leadership, and I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the elders. They are Bible-based, and more importantly, they want to be Bible-based. So for all that we have going for us, we seem to lack in the reaching other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ department. Now, I'm not going to belabor the point, but thousands of churches fall down in this very same area. Many churches in this nation close every week to never open again. The important difference about Daleville Christian Church is that we used to know how, and we used to effectively communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you that that is way better than never having been able to effectively communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that Daleville Christian Church has done this twice in its recent history is way better than having never been able to effectively communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. We did it before, we can do it again. Now let's talk about animals for a little bit. We've talked about people, let's talk about animals. Don't worry, I'm getting to God's word for today. Jesus talked about sheep. Sheep are mentioned in the New Testament 45 times. 39 of those times are in the Gospels. You want to notice that again? 45 times in the entire New Testament, 39 of them in the Gospels, and 34 of those 39 times are on the lips of Jesus himself. Jesus talks about sheep. Now, I don't have any farm experience with sheep. We never had sheep on our farm. We had hogs. We had a few cattle, but my dad had sold them all before I was very old. I've worked with hogs. I must say, it doesn't seem to have hurt this church. Now, as a congregation, we have a lot more experience with cattle. This, too, does not seem to have hurt the congregation at all. Jesus tells one story about sheep. One parable is about sheep. It's a pretty well-known story that Jesus tells. I'm sure if we broke up into small groups with no Bible, your little group would come up with the whole story. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. I'll just read it to you. It's a few verses long. Jesus said, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Notice a few things about that story, a story about a lost sheep. First of all, sheep are a valuable commodity. We can't argue about how valuable the sheep is. It is valuable by virtue of it being a sheep. The sheep's value is reiterated by Jesus' commentary, and don't worry, I won't let you leave today without Jesus' commentary. That the sheep is lost, this is Jesus' description, but notice that the shepherd does not go to the sheep and say, "Hey, you're lost." That doesn't help the sheep, does it? No, as a matter of fact, it's really a dumb idea. But how does the church talk about people outside the church? It calls them lost. Funny, they don't feel lost. And telling people that they are lost doesn't seem to help them get found. In Jesus' story, the shepherd does not tell the sheep that the sheep is lost. By the way, it would not help a hog to tell him he was lost either. I know. Jesus says this, "Doesn't the shepherd go after the lost sheep until he finds it?" This finally brings us to today's scripture in verse 17. The Apostle Paul reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. So please notice, Paul went to them. Paul went to the sheep in the synagogue and in the marketplace. Paul went to them. Paul didn't wait for people to come to him. Paul went to them. Remember, it wasn't Paul's job to go to them. Paul's career was ropes and canvas. That's how Paul earned his living. Paul is on a mission from God for free. Now you might ask, what would motivate such a man to do such a thing? Well, the book of Acts tells us, Paul had come to a pagan city, a cultured pagan city, the city of Athens, and the Bible says Paul was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So maybe we here at Daleville Christian Church are not. Are we or are we not distressed to see that the community is full of idols? What? You say there are no statues to pagan gods in Daleville? It must be all Christian? I suggest that you're not looking in the right places. If you want to find what people are worshiping, you need to look at their checkbooks, their Visa statements, or their debit card statements. You will discover what they value. There's an old story about an Inuit Native American from Alaska who had never been away from home. He came to the lower 48 states. The Native American observed that the American people were very religious. There were gods they worshipped in almost every room of every house. In every business, and everyone wore one on their wrist. The Native Inuit host did not know what the man was talking about until he realized the native was talking about clocks and watches. Americans consulted them before doing anything. Today we could replace that simple observation with our phones. Just saw a Facebook post Friday on just this very topic. The posting asked, "What if we began to treat our Bibles the way we treat our cell phones? What if we carried it with us everywhere? What if we turned back to get it if we forgot it? What if we checked it for messages throughout the day? What if we used it in case of an emergency? What if we spent an hour or more using it every day?" See what I mean? But most of us do not. Most of American Christians do not treat their Bibles like they treat their cell phones. But as a friend told me, prayer is the world's best wireless connection. But what do Americans do? You've seen their behavior. People caress their phones to their cheeks. They'll endanger their lives and other people's lives in order to keep that device close to them while they're driving their vehicles. Now, why are we not distressed at the condition of the people? Because we figure they are free to do what they want? But they are not free. They are slaves to their own passions and pleasures. And I'll give you a hint, that was a passage in my last sermon. But do you have compassion for them? Jesus healed some people simply out of compassion for them. I just read last Thursday a list of the 10 unhappiest cities in the United States. 10 of the unhappiest cities in the United States, 3 of them are in Indiana. In the entire U.S., 3 of the unhappiest cities are right here in Indiana. And you know how I know that is true? Because I read it on my phone. I just threw that in. I don't have a data plan yet. I'm still tied to my keyboard. But you and I need to get a little uncomfortable about other people's lives. We need to be a little uneasy about other people's lives. People are unhappy here. They're some of the unhappiest people in the entire nation live in the state of Indiana. You realize that the violence in the city of Indianapolis is really only an indicator of the misery many people live in, whether it's in Indianapolis or not. But remember, I began by noticing Jesus' story about sheep, a lost sheep. A lost sheep is in danger. A lost sheep is in danger from predators. A lost sheep may not be able to find food and water on its own. The shepherd leads the sheep to food and water. They can't find it on their own. But Jesus makes a point that the shepherd goes and finds the sheep. Now you might say, hey, Pastor, you're the shepherd. Well, folks, I'm only one of the shepherds. And this is the flock. We're talking about sheep that are not here. We're talking about sheep that are, Jesus describes them as lost. Today, we might say they are unconnected. Because in the present day, if you're connected, you can't be lost. Your cell phone, your phone, your GPS will tell you where you are, how to get what you need, and where to go to get it. You're never lost if you're connected. Besides, it doesn't help the sheep to tell it's lost. People today are never lost except in some poetic sense. But people today are disconnected. People today are unconnected. How many people have walked into this church building needing help? Why? Because really, they are not connected. They're not connected to resources. They're not connected to people who can help them. They're unconnected. The homeless are the ultimate unconnected people. The Apostle Paul went to the sheep right where they were. The Bible even says that Paul spoke with whoever showed up that day in the marketplace. He didn't pick and choose. Now, I am one of the shepherds, but there are more reasons I can't be the only one to go find lost sheep. Excuse me, unconnected sheep. That word doesn't work well with sheep, does it? Even though it's true, a lost sheep is unconnected, unconnected from the flock, unconnected from the shepherd. Another reason you are part of taking the, you are a part of taking the gospel to others is I don't know where to find all the unconnected people, the lost sheep. You do. Also, Jesus mentions that sheep are fearful of strangers. I would be a stranger if I show up in some places. You may not be a stranger to those you know are unconnected. Oh, those three unhappy Indiana cities? You can guess one of them. That's right, Gary, Indiana. You could have guessed that one. Gary, Indiana comes in as the 9th unhappiest city in the nation. Next of the Indiana cities, Evansville, Indiana, where my brother lives. Although some of you might point out it was Evansville and Henderson, Kentucky together, and it's all Kentucky's fault. But they were the 5th unhappiest city in the nation, and drum roll please, the unhappiest Indiana city is South Bend. They came in as the 3rd unhappiest city in the country. In the country! I'm not disrespecting those cities. They apparently shared their unhappiness. You can read about it on your own phones if you want. And to give you some perspective, Detroit came in at number 7. So Evansville and South Bend are unhappier than Detroit. Friends, life with Jesus is way better than life without Jesus. It's past time to help get other people connected to the source of life. Get people connected to the source of joy. Get people to the connected to the source of life everlasting. Get them connected to the source of all blessings. Get them connected to the source of every good gift that is coming from above. Oh, one more thing. What happened in the city of Athens so long ago after Paul spoke with the people there? The Bible tells us, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. But others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. And then it says in verse 34, some of the people became followers of Paul and believed on Jesus Christ. The Bible is telling us not everyone we speak to will want to hear what you have to say. Some folks will want to hear more about what you have said, and some others will become followers of Jesus Christ and come to faith. Why? Because you, like Paul, will go to them wherever they are, speak plainly to them in a way they will be able to hear you. Because of your distress over them and your compassion for them. And I'm sorry, I told you I'd tell you one other thing and I haven't told you yet. Jesus commented on the value of the one sheep. You remember it from Jesus' story. Jesus said, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Reverend Dick Merriman reminded me. Dick Merriman, whose life I helped celebrate a few weeks ago in Rushville, Indiana. Reverend Merriman reminded me that Sunday morning, I came forward to confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior at the age of 10. There was rejoicing in heaven. And I've never forgotten it. I have believed that if anyone is not a follower of Jesus Christ, this church is distressed. And even if the church is not distressed, I am. I'm distressed for those who are not followers of Jesus Christ. I know that without Jesus Christ, I really have nothing of value to offer you. I've given people money. Were they really better off? But when I see people come to Jesus, their lives start to come together. Blessings for which there is no monetary number. these blessings begin to come. I invite, and I invite you to invite others to come to Jesus Christ. Make him your Lord and Savior. Or if you don't have a church home, why try to go it alone out there? You don't have to be unconnected. Connect. Connect with the Bible. Connect with the mission. Connect with others. Want to be connected to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.